It's time for Kennedy for Alabama, a political talk show where we discuss the real issues impacting our sweet home, Alabama. Your calls, comments, and texts are welcome at 251-343-0106.
I love this country as much, if not more, than you do, and don't you ever forget that.
And now, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Good evening to the FM Talk 106 listening audience. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr., and this is Kennedy for Alabama. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to our third episode. We are really excited about tonight's program, so let's get to it. In studio, we have three fantastic members of our conversation team. The first is my lovely wife, Mrs. Aquilyn Kennedy.
Hey, everybody.
Brilliant and beautiful as always.
Thanks.
Sitting in the lobby area and joining us in the bottom half of the hour is Reverend Jamal Finkley, who is the pastor of the Hope Chapel AME Zion Church in Whistler and also a local community activist. And the third is going to be a call-in guest. That is the chief of police of Mobile, Lawrence Batiste. And last, but in no wise least, our friend Mr. Phil Bush, who is working the production board and waving in silence. So,
yay.
Aquilyn, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fantastic. Thank God it's Friday.
Finally, man. The week was crazy. The week was crazy.
It was crazy.
Tell me something good.
Well, one, if you're listening, you survived yesterday. Oh, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, indeed.
Okay, let's start with God is good all the time.
And all the time, God is
good.
God
is good. But there is something that really caught my eye. If you all remember back in May, there was a multi-billionaire who in Atlanta who took care of the debt of Morehouse students,
okay.
graduating
yep.
Morehouse students.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what he just did?
What did he just do?
He just extended that promise to the parents of those students.
Are you serious?
He is taking care of
wow.
all the debt they took out to send their children to college.
Got it.
That is amazing.
Talk about actually something that's absolutely life-changing from a financial perspective.
It is life-changing. It is oh my God. Like, that's two generations right there, moving forward, lifting them up, and let's just, it's always up from there. It's really exciting. So that's something good.
That's cool. And on my side, yesterday, the mayor of Pritchard, Alabama, announced that we had been approved as a city to receive a $4.1 million capital improvement loan. And what that's going to allow the city to do is it's going to allow it to refinance some debt that was at a higher interest rate initially at a lower interest rate. And it will also allow them to buy some much needed capital equipment for the police department as well as the public safety department. So
fantastic.
Anytime that our city of Pritchard can have some cash coming into it, that is definitely a good thing.
That's outstanding. Oh, my God.
We're really happy for everyone.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the agenda. In the top half of the hour, we'll review the top three news headlines from the last 7 days. We'll introduce tonight's first discussion topic, and we'll start the conversation with our first guest, Chief Lawrence Batiste. In the bottom half of the hour, we'll do a quick sponsor spotlight, introduce tonight's second discussion topic, and continue the conversation with Reverend Jamal Finkley. Okay. The phone and text lines are open, so call us or text us at 251-353-0106. So now the headlines. Headline number one, 55th anniversary of the bombing at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham. The first headline comes from AL.com. It reads, 16th Street Baptist Church bombing was 55 years ago today. Photos of the tragedy. The article was written by Jeremy Gray and published on the website AL.com. The second headline comes from AL.com website also. It reads, Shakisha Clemens gets probation, fined for Waffle House incident. Headline number three comes from Tuscaloosa, and it reads from FoxNews.com. It says, Tuscaloosa police officer Dornell Corsett, one of our state's heroes, killed pursuing felon. What did the author say? Donnell Corsett, a U.S. Army veteran who served for 13 years at the Tuscaloosa Police Department, was shot and killed Monday while in pursuit of a felon, officials say. The suspect is said to have run inside a home before opening fire, striking Corsett, age 40. So this leads to our first discussion topic. That is, how is it that we as a community can better support our police officers? And how, in turn, by us supporting our police officers, are we actually able to improve relationships between police and the communities that they serve? So that is what we are going to be talking about tonight. You know, it's interesting as we're just kind of evaluating what the headlines were and thinking about, an officer losing his life in the line of duty. These officers actually risk their lives every day to protect and serve and ultimately keep us safe. There are some things that we need to do in order to improve the relationships, but those are things that I actually think we can accomplish if we work together. So with that in mind, let's go to the phone lines and see who we have on the phone.
Hi, Robert. This is Sherry Graham. How are you?
Hey, Sherry Graham. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I thought I would call in and say congratulations on your show and want to talk about your first topic tonight.
Okay. All right. What are your thoughts?
I think, well, first of all, I would like to commend the police department for putting together some community programs such as Coffee with a Cop.
Okay.
I think having an early morning time in various areas of the community make it really good for adults who can get there and talk about, talk with the police.
Well,
we
know that it's all about relationship, right? And so when we can have that contact in an environment that's a little bit more informal, then when something actually happens, we have the foundation of trust established in order to be able to go forward.
It is. I think one of the areas that we're weak on, or I would like to see more opportunity, is within our kids. Within the family and the youth. You know, it's great to show a movie, but that doesn't really give kids an opportunity to have a voice.
Okay.
And I would like to see doing something similar to, instead of Coffee with a Cop, being able to have, an open community, an open session where officers will go out of the school, but in the community. We have lots of community centers.
Right.
And they would take the time, even at night or Saturday morning, or, an hour. That's all they need. And the kids can come and talk to them and maybe even have an open forum once a month, in the different districts. I think we've got 23 community centers. They're all spread throughout the districts we have. And just really get to – the kids have an opportunity to meet men and women of their precincts. And to get down, with them one-on-one.
Okay.
I think that would be great because we really need to get our kids involved.
Sure, thanks a lot. I have the chief of police on the other line right now. I am going to switch to him, but I actually do want you to stay in contact because I want to address the mental health issue. So listen, and once we get to that, if you want to call back in, please do.
Be glad to. I'll talk to you later, and congrats.
All right, thanks a lot, Cher. And so we are on the line. Who is calling in?
Hello?
Hello, Chief. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir. This is Ms. Kennedy. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Chief Batiste, you are on air at Kennedy for Alabama. Thank you so much for calling in.
My pleasure. Yes, sir.
I really appreciate your time. I know you're really busy. We just have a couple of minutes before the break, and then we'll bring you back on afterwards. But really what I wanted to do right now was just to see how you and your officers were feeling about the tragedy that happened up in Tuscaloosa.
Well, anytime anybody in the state of Alabama that we're familiar with lose their lives, it causes us some concern. Certainly when an officer is carrying out his duties and responsibilities, we feel for that officer and we feel for his family and for his law enforcement family.
Absolutely.
It's a tough thing to deal with, and the chief and the entire department and his family are, grieving at this time, and, there ain't a lot we can really do other than show our support for them at this time.
Absolutely. Hey, Chief, we need to go to a break here in just a few seconds, but if you have a few minutes to hold on, I'd actually like to bring you back after the break and talk a little bit about how the families are doing of Officer Bila as well as Officer Tudor, if you have a little bit more time.
Okay, we'll be glad to do so.
All right, cool. Well, for those of you who have been listening to FM Talk 106.5, we have started a conversation about how we can better support our police in the community as they go out and do things to protect us. We are also going to transition and have a little bit more of a conversation about how we can work together to improve our relationship. You've been listening to Kennedy for Alabama. We will be back in just a few minutes.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Lines are open at 251-343-0106. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. For those of you who may be just joining us, we have been on the line with Chief of Police, Lawrence Batiste. Chief, are you on the line?
I am here.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about the two officers who were killed in the line of duty here in Mobile. And I just wanted to know, how are their families doing, and how are your officers doing?
Yeah, our officers are doing fine. Chrissy Tudor and Aaron Villa, they're both doing fine. Little Taylor's doing well. In fact, they're at a retreat. Right now, family retreat, just kind of getting in touch with trying to understand, you know, what happened and talking through with other victims, family members, to just kind of get themselves in a place to where they can move forward and be a positive influence on the community about what they went through.
Well, we appreciate their service and their sacrifice, and we definitely continue to keep their families in our thoughts and prayers, as we do for all of you who go out and protect us every day. There was actually one nuts and bolts question I wanted to ask you about before we got into the bulk of our discussion area, and that's really about some of the recent news reports about your efforts to recruit and retain employees. Can you just tell us a little bit about the numbers in terms of how many you're getting, how many you're losing, et cetera?
You know, recruitment is always a challenge, and it's been a problem for law enforcement literally for decades.
Okay.
You know, when you're looking at asking somebody to make the ultimate sacrifice of putting their lives on the line to protect the community, it's not an easy thing. You know, you get a lot of people that may be going to military and expect to do that, and then when they come back to their communities, they're not really all in the mindset of really continuing that same sacrifice.
Okay.
So when you make a decision to serve as a law enforcement officer, you really commit a big portion of yourself. Not just what you do while you're at work, but what you do when you're off work, because the community really never lets you forget that you took that oath to protect the
service. Absolutely, absolutely.
And so recruitment is a challenge from that perspective. The other thing is that, you know, everybody that may say they want to be in law enforcement may not be properly suited for. You know, there are things that you should have done when you were in high school to make sure that you didn't. You know, go down the wrong path. There's some things that you could have, your crimes that you could have committed that you didn't really think that was a big deal because you were a juvenile.
Okay.
As you get older, traffic citations. And then, of course, the physical fitness that goes along with being in law enforcement. A lot of people don't think about those things until to that day comes. And so it's a challenge to find qualified candidates and having a really diverse pool of applicants also
right.
is another challenge.
Okay. All right. Well, best of luck as you continue along the path of trying to find the next generation of police leadership. We know how important that is to our community, and we definitely appreciate everything that you're doing there. So I do want to spend a little bit of time getting into something that may be a little bit more difficult, and that is a lot of things both nationally and locally relative to the police's relationship with the community. And so I grew up here in Pritchard, between Pritchard with my mother and father, and then in the Tolmanville area with my grandmother, and down the bottom with my aunts and uncles. And I personally experienced some things as a young man where the relationship may not necessarily have been what I thought it should be. And I know you've heard all the stories before. And since you've worked your way up to become the chief of police, I wonder, from your perspective, what is it that you would like to see from the community that you think would actually help us develop those relationships? And then I'll share some thoughts on maybe some things that I'm hearing that you may be able to take into consideration as well.
Well, you know, I guess the biggest thing that I would say as it relates to community involvement is, you know, when we have opportunities to get to know officers, things like Coffee with a Cop, Bridging the Gap,
right,
CAG group meetings, people need to attend, not just those individuals that typically have a healthy respect for law enforcement,
right,
but even those that don't have a healthy respect for law enforcement, because that's where you create dialogue, that's where you create relationships, in having those healthy discussions that maybe we don't agree about the way we did it this time, but maybe we can come to a consensus of how we do it the next time. But if you're not at the table, and then you sit back and you complain every time something happens, you never gain any ground on improving where we want to go. I'm a firm believer that I believe we, as a people, we have more in common than we don't.
Yes.
But if we don't talk about the commonalities, we start with our differences, and it's harder to come together if you're starting from where you have differences as opposed to where your commonalities happen to be.
Yeah, Chief, I actually agree with you on all of that, but I'm intentionally going to push just a little bit harder, if that's okay. So
that's fine with me.
the stuff that I'm talking about, really, and I don't want to talk about any particular case. I don't want to put you in that position. But it seems like, from my perspective, that whenever we have one of these incidences that rises to the level that people actually start to actively protest, that invariably it almost feels like the instant instinct is, if it is something that is positive, that puts law enforcement in a good light, all of the information about that comes out, and comes out quickly. But if it's something that may perhaps bring the officer's behavior into question, it seems like there's more of a tendency kind of to delay or shroud it under the umbrella of, hey, we need to investigate or investigate fully, which I understand when you're trying to prosecute something. But what do you think, from your perspective, having sat at the top here for a while, what do you think that you guys could do better?
I think that we're doing a lot of the things that we need to do properly. I think things need to be investigated. So for me to sit here and say to you right now, well, maybe we need to change how quickly we investigate. You know, facts are facts.
Right.
And in many cases, if you don't take the time to get the facts, you don't get an opportunity to retract
right.
what you said many times. Once it's said, you know, it's said.
Mm-hmm.
And many times you're condemned about something, even if you – even if we apologize for an incident and we say we're going to do better in correcting it, many times people that have made up their mind about they really don't care what the facts happen to be, there's no chance to improve how we move forward. And so the reality of it is this, is that, you know, we have always been an organization that try to look at holding our people accountable for their actions.
Right.
We'll continue to be an organization that hold people accountable for their actions. But I don't think we should be on a timetable for someone that may have an axe to grind with law enforcement to get it any quicker than we would do under normal circumstances.
Yeah, and I understand where you're coming from there, and obviously I respect it from the limited experience that I had when I was a little bit closer to that than I am now. But the one thing that I do want to pull on from a call to action standpoint is I have seen you personally. I've seen your deputies in the community. And I know that if I want to talk to you, if I want to talk to Director Barber, that there are enough public forums for me to be able to do so. So I definitely appreciate that. But the one part that you did highlight that I would love to see people do more proactively is getting to those activists, the people who would actually be participating in the protest, and getting them around the table so that you could hear their thoughts and concerns, you know, the same way that I hear their thoughts and concerns when we're not talking on air.
You know, I guess if I can add this, is that, we live in a culture today that what happens around the world impacts us in Mobile, and you use the word protest.
Yep.
And there haven't been a lot of protests in Mobile. What you've seen is national protests. And if people have concerns, again, as an agency, I know over the last 5 years, myself and Director Barber, the mayor's office, we've always tried to provide a platform for people to have an active, healthy discussion about where we are and what we're doing. Now, just because we have a discussion about it, that means that we're going to make changes immediately, because the changes that people may be asking for may not be in the best interest, not just for law enforcement, but for our community as a whole. And so we have to think about how do we move the needle forward without compromising the safety of those individuals of the community that we have sworn an oath to protect. And so because we deal with the national narrative, you know, if we can focus on Mobile, and if this discussion is about Mobile and relationships with law enforcement in Mobile, that's where we need to go. And when those guys commit offenses nationally, we need to, again, because we've worked to establish our relationships, we shouldn't be challenged by what happened in California. We shouldn't be challenged by what happened in New York.
Hey, Chief.
We're dealing with what happens in Mobile.
Chief, thank you for that. I was going to say thank you for that. We really appreciate it. We're going to end up having to go to another break now, but I appreciate your time that you spent talking to us. And like we said before when we were talking offline, we know this is an ongoing, continuing conversation, and we appreciate your willingness to participate. Thank you so much.
No problem. Yes, sir.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Okay. This is Kennedy for Alabama. We are going to break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Talk to you soon.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Lines are open at 251-343-0106. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. For those of you who were listening during the first half hour, we spent a little time on the phone with Chief Batiste, the chief of police. We talked a little bit about what it was that we as a community could do to better support law enforcement, and then what law enforcement can do to improve relations with the community. So with that as a backdrop, we want to continue the conversation by talking a little bit about what people in the community are doing to help guide young men and young women along the right path so they don't end up crossing paths with law enforcement in a way that is bad. So with that, I would like to bring in Reverend Jamal Finkley. How you doing today?
Man, I'm great, man. I've had a wonderful day, Brother Robert, and it does not yet appear what the rest of the day will be like. I mean, yeah.
Well, we are so glad that you had traveling graces. We know that you were on the highway there for a little bit, and glad that you could join us here in the studio.
Yeah.
So for the listening audience, just tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you doing professionally, and what are you doing to impact your community?
Okay, let me start, Brother Robert, just saying to Chief Batiste, my heart goes out to you, the amazing job that you're doing and your officers are doing to try to make sure that we are provided safety and protection. My heart goes out to you. My heart also goes out to those that are in Tuscaloosa. I know Chief Anderson very, very well. We are engaged now to try to help in ways to shoulder some of the burden financially, if we can. But here am I. I'm here. Thank you for having me, Jamal Finkley. Nothing amazing about me. My Bishop Seth Olarte, approached me one day. He was dreaming late at night, and he approached me and asked me that he had this dream to start this movement called the Next Generation Movement.
Okay.
He wanted to reach 12 million children to be gun-free, drug-free, and jail-free. And I literally
say that last
gun-free, drug-free, and jail-free. A little different from the DARE program, but I literally thought he was crazy. I really did. But he was serious. And so from that time, we developed 17 chapters from Buffalo, New York, Bishop Hill, St. Louis, Missouri, Jancy Finkley, my brother, all the way down to the Keys of Florida. We have some amazing people. Yes, yes.
And one of the things that I wanted to highlight, and one of the reasons why I invited you in today, is do you remember when we first met?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So
at the Waffle House.
For the listening audience, the Waffle House incident that happened that involved Keisha Clemons, there was a NAACP meeting that happened that afternoon, and from that there were rumors about a spontaneous protest. Mm-hmm. And so the people who were actually participating in the protest that evening were all people who actually knew Shakisha Clemons, mm-hmm. and they were going out to to express their displeasure with how the Waffle House had treated her. Mm-hmm. And so we heard about this, and a number of us went out. We weren't protesting, mm-hmm. but we were watching the protesters, yeah. I think is a way to say yeah. that, kind of just making sure things didn't mm-hmm. get out of hand when law enforcement arrived. And so it was good to see you out there. Yeah. My wife and I were out there as yeah. well, supporting what they were doing in terms of expressing themselves.
Yeah, I think that speaks to the culture of where we are today, that we don't wait or put off tomorrow what we should do today and actually be vigilant. I think it's incumbent upon all of us, especially pastors, to be vigilant in the community, to be active in the community. And subsequently, we did a prayer walk. And our prayer walk, it wasn't visceral. It wasn't venomous at all. It was just going by each business, going by each home, and actually introducing ourselves. I hate this motif that we've developed, community versus police, mm-hmm. and police versus community.
Now, we actually had law enforcement. And again, we don't say any names on this program, yeah. but we had law enforcement that was with us during yeah. that prayer walk.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes. And we certainly we welcome that. But here how can the officers be more engaged than the pastors? And so what we wish to do is bring all key parties, all stakeholders to the table. I think that's the way to bring our community back together. And because of that, we've been going from city to city, okay. state to state, making sure that we can corral some of this. Like, for example, in Prattville area, I have a lady, Connie Parks. She's very active, and even to the point of feeding the football players. We think that that's wow. not significant, but it is. Even in Selma, we wanted to reproduce what it is that we do. So instead of just going to march or to pray, we actually went and to develop a program. We mentored two of the schools in Selma, and out of that came a school cleanup. Out of that came field trips and other things. Yeah, yeah. And so it's a daily work. It's a daily assignment, and we're up for the task. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually want to come back to the prayer walk here mm-hmm. in a second, but we actually have a caller that's calling in, mm-hmm. so we're going to go ahead and go to the line on yeah. that. Hello, you are on the line with Kennedy for Alabama. Who do we have?
Well, hello, Mr. Kennedy.
Hello.
Congratulations on your new show.
Thank you so Please much. Who's calling?
Isn't it true that you're a graduate of the Naval Academy?
I am a graduate of the United States Naval Academy, class of 1992.
Wow. And do I understand you also with several Fortune 500 companies?
I was blessed enough to do that.
And what companies were those?
I worked for Toys R Us, I worked for Sears yeah. Holding Company, and I worked for
yeah.
Harris Entertainment. Is this Judge Butler calling?
Well, yes.
Judge Butler, if you'd be so kind as to tell the FM Talk 106 audience what you were doing when you and I met and how that relates to the conversation that we're having right now.
Well, that goes back a long way. What year?
This would have been 1987.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were a young student, I think about the 10th grade or maybe 11th grade. You went on the Amendment to North Carolina, not this. And you won.
Yes, yes, I did. But what I wanted to talk about was that was when you were the judge over at Strickland Youth Center, correct?
That's correct. Yep.
So I know that as we were getting to know each other, one of the things I was learning from you was the challenges that you had in terms of holding young people accountable for things that they were doing and trying to get them back on the right path. So could you tell us a little bit about how you used to do that?
You know, Robert, that was always a balance because you had to hold people accountable, particularly at that time and those years that you were a student. We had to gain from Chicago.
Yes, sir.
And unfortunately, they were fighting each
other. Hey, Judge Butler, you're breaking up a little bit. You're breaking up a little bit.
Okay, let me see if I can get you clear there.
That's better, Judge.
But yes, back in those years, about 1989, we had the fact fighting between the Crips and the Bloods. Gosh, it was so bad. We had 19 verdicts among juveniles in that year. They were terrorizing the community with drive-bys.
They were doing the drive-bys then, huh?
But we had to look at balance. We had to also, to send those on. Those people, we also have those who just been pulled into everything. But I'd really talk about what you've done.
So hey, Judge Butler. Judge Butler, the sound isn't coming through really well, so we really do appreciate you calling in, and we'll end up talking to you again soon, okay? You take care. Give my love to the family.
You bet.
Okay.
Same thing. You bet.
Okay, so we are going to see who our next caller is. Hello, you're on the line with Kennedy for Alabama.
Hello, Kennedy for Alabama. This is Reggie Hill.
Hey, Mr. Reggie Hill, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing very well, and I appreciate 106.5 for offering this opportunity to speak to your listeners, and I appreciate you taking on the challenge to give some real, tangible information to the citizens in this area.
Hey, Reggie, thank you for that. Hey, we only have about a minute left before we need to go to the break again. Can you describe briefly what you're doing to improve the community? Take about a minute to do so. We'll go to break, and then we'll bring you back on the line after break.
Absolutely. Well, I'm the executive director of Success for the Future.
Okay.
It's a local 501c3 nonprofit organization. We aim to ensure that young people, particularly those at risk, steer clear pathways that lead to delinquency, social dependency, and incarceration.
Okay.
And we do this through implementation of worthwhile behavior intervention and character development programs. We're fortunate to have kids in all three of the county commission districts, all five of the school board districts, and even in the city of Mobile, all seven of the city council districts. So we're making an impact all over this area.
You know, you are definitely making an impact. I appreciate that. And the thing, just in terms of tying this all together, when we talk about what you're doing with Success for the Future, we talk about what Reverend Finkley is doing with the Next Generation Movement for Nonviolence, and even what Judge Butler was talking about as he dealt with some things in the late 80s in terms of trying to kind of guide children away from behavior that was going to negatively influence their lives. It is good to see that we have people in our communities right here in Mobile, Pritchard, all throughout Mobile County that are doing things for the community. So thank you for that. Reggie, I want you to hold on a little bit. We're going to end up going to the break here, and then we'll bring you back after the break, and we will continue this conversation. Does that work for
Absolutely.
You? Do you have a few minutes?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We are going to go to the break here in just a second, and then we will be back with more Kennedy for Alabama.
Welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. Now let's have a real conversation about what's going on in our Alabama communities. Lines are open at 251-343-0106. Once again, your host, Robert Kennedy Jr.
And welcome back to Kennedy for Alabama. We are here with Reverend Jamal Finkley in studio and Mr. Reggie Hill on the phone line. So, Reggie, you still there?
Absolutely. I'm here with you, Brother Kennedy.
Okay, so I want to go back to Reverend Finkley right quick. So, Reverend Finkley, when you hear about the work that you're doing individually, when you think about what Mr. Hill has been doing, what Mr. Some of the other folks that we've talked about, how do you feel as though we can continue to move the collective forward in terms of, you know, providing good examples and good pathing for the young men and women to avoid trouble?
Okay, so it's important for us to make sure that our efforts are organic.
Okay,
what I'm learning today that our children they can see straight through you.
Yes.
If it's not authentic, they will not buy in. You will not get buy in.
Okay.
Children, I liken it until when I was teaching school. One teacher would holler at little Johnny and say, "Johnny, pull your pants up, pull your pants up," and they will immediately get venom. And
okay.
I would say to Johnny the same thing, and immediately I would get results. So it's important for us to make sure that they see children, especially children, see our heart. If they do not see
that
our heart,
so
we will
important.
Not get buy-in.
That
and
is
I
so
think,
important.
I think it's important. And that's why it's important for us as clergy to lead, to be out in front. And so that's important.
Thank you for that. Yes. Hey, Mr. Hill, same
yes,
question. Where is it that you think we should go? What should we be doing right now to continue to establish that trust? And you have about a minute to answer.
Well, we should definitely be creating a conversation where we're talking with our young people instead of talking at our young people.
Yes.
In compliance with what Reverend Finkley was saying, they will definitely recognize if you're actually there for them or you have some separate agenda.
Yeah.
So we have to be understanding that if we're talking with them, we're doing our best to understand their placement in life and in society so that we can meet them where they are and then propel them to where we want them to be.
Mm-hmm. That
so it's not
is
the
everything.
Idea that we're going to lose track of the focus of getting them to another level. Until we can meet them there where they are, we won't get them there.
Absolutely.
So I think that it's very imperative that we recognize that things are so much different now than when I was an adolescent and when any of the other people that have been on now, they are exposed to way more than we were exposed to.
Yes,
so
yes,
until we're able
truth.
To analyze that idea and take a unique approach, something that is different than what has been done in the past, we will never get them to that placement. Our young people want to be successful. They want to be contributing citizens to society, but they haven't ever been exposed to that. Humans have learned the same way since the beginning of time. We copy what we see, and we repeat what we hear. So, again, if you haven't been exposed to anything differently, we can't expect you to act any differently.
Okay,
so
Reggie,
I
need to insert in here just a second. So you've really hit on something that I really want to continue a conversation on. Hey, look at your schedule for next week, and if you actually have some time, I'm going to want to bring you into studio so that we can continue this conversation because it's well worth us making sure this word gets out. So can you do that for me?
Oh, absolutely, man. Anything for you. I love the idea that you're now bringing the real conversation to the people because that's where it's going to start. When we can actually tackle those issues that matter, we'll begin to make the true difference.
All right. Thanks a lot, Reggie. So thanks so much to Reggie for calling in. We are going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to see who our next caller is. Hello, you are on the line with Kennedy for Alabama. Who do we have?
Charlie McCants.
Mr. Charlie McCants, how are you doing this evening?
I'm awesome by yourself.
I cannot complain at all. So we ran into each other here earlier in the week. I know you were telling me a little bit about the fantastic things that you're doing, not only from a coaching perspective, but also from this perspective of having a positive impact on the community. So tell us, what are you doing?
Well, we have the Mobile Gestures ABA basketball team. We're gearing up for our seventh year.
Okay.
One of the things that we're trying to change this year is that to give Mobile an opportunity to know that we are here.
Yes.
And we have some great programs that we are adding. One of them is next month. We're going to have our apparel in our local Walmart.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's great.
And in addition to that, we have other additional programs like Ticket Buzz, where a person can purchase our ticket online. We're going to have a $10,000 event for each game to where some lucky fan.
Well, thank you there, Mr. McCants. Really do appreciate that. And everyone, stay on the lookout and see whether or not you can see the information that that you're putting out there. So, Reverend Finkley,
yes. So
we're getting here towards the end of the program. What other thoughts do you have that you want to share before we sign off? Take about a minute.
Let me say how appreciative I am just to come on and to be with you all tonight. It's important for me to maintain my authenticity.
Yes.
I think we miss that a lot. maintaining our authenticity. And because of that, I'm on this crusade to go all over the world just praying for young people. We know it's football season on Friday nights, and after football games, children might decide to drink and drive, might decide to have sex after the football games, decide to make decisions that are foolish. And so I just want to speak right now to all of our young people. Look, you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
God made you to be the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. Look, you are beautiful. Young man, you are handsome. You don't have to pull your pants down or wear your pants below your knees to say that you are somebody. Ladies, you don't have to imitate the Grand Canyon with your cleavage. You are somebody. Put a belt around your waist, young man. Cover yourselves up, young ladies. Look, you are kings and queens. And I want to say to our communities, we are beautiful communities. We have beautiful communities. Pastors, I want to say to you, get involved in your communities. Know your neighbors. Know the businessmen that occupy your communities. And I just speak right now into all of the world. I speak right now, and I pray for every young person that this night you will not go another night hungry. That this night you will not go another night without a soft bed to lay in. That you will not go another night smoking weed, smoking marijuana. You will not participate in a drive-by. I speak tonight that you will not go to jail, that you will not be incarcerated. We just want to say you are loved and you are kings and queens. I love you. If don't anybody else love you, God loves you, and have a wonderful night.
Thank you so much for that, Reverend Finkley. We really appreciate it, because one of the things that I wanted the community to know is that we have folks in our community that are working this problem every single day. And if you only listen to the national media, you may not think that is the case. Two things that I want to touch on as we get ready to wrap up this evening is to understand that we need to move from words to action. Mm. So we have action items that we've given to the chief of police. We have action items for ourselves in the community. So as we wrap up this evening, we want to keep Governor Ivey in our thoughts and prayers as she looks to work through the cancer diagnosis that she has. We also want to extend that prayer to everyone who is dealing with any type of healthcare issues whatsoever. We ask that everybody continue to remain safe. And everyone going to those football games, be sure that you keep in mind what Reverend Finkley just prayed for and keep yourself safe. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. We will look forward to hearing from you throughout the course of the week and you listening in next week. My name is Robert Kennedy Jr., and this has been Kennedy for Alabama. Good night, everyone. Good night.